studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, this week on Abounding Grace, we have an exciting week as we are going to go back to the Old Testament this week and look at the book of Nehemiah chapter 8. For most of us, this probably is a section of scripture that really has probably never been considered or you've ever heard a sermon from, or it's one of those that tends to get left behind and neglected. But yet, as we open up Nehemiah chapter 8 this week, I think you're going to see and share with me, this is a very important passage as we take up the subject of Reformation. You know, a lot of churches have this name Reformed on the sign, and a lot of people know exactly what that means. Simply what it means is that we're going back to the Word of God. There's a Latin phrase that is very important, Semper Reformanda, that is always reforming, always going back to the Word of God, because our hearts are idol factories. There are two religions in the world today, and even in the Christian church, the tendency is to push a religion that exalts man as opposed to a religion that glorifies the God of heaven and earth. And what Reformation is all about is going back to the Word, that what we do might bring honor and glory to His great name. I would hope that for every Christian out there hearing today, that is a passion and a desire that you have to glorify God, for that's the very reason that you were created. Let me begin today by starting with this. When I was a child, I remember those commercials for Oldsmobiles. And if you remember these, there was always that little phrase that they would use, "This is not your father's Oldsmobile." Oldsmobile was going through a real crisis. For years, they had a certain type of car with a certain type of market. And so the division saw the handwriting on the wall. We've got to do something and do it fast. And so the pitch was clear. If we can produce more cutting-edge Oldsmobiles, maybe we can capture a larger market and save our cars. The interesting thing that Oldsmobile didn't realize was that it was precisely in who they were that marked them as unique. When they tried to branch off and be something they were not, it crumbled. They couldn't compete. In 2004, Oldsmobile was put to rest. The same was true for Coca-Cola. I remember some years back, they wanted to take the classic off the cans and change the formula. Today, of course, it's known as one of the greatest marketing failures of our time. People didn't want that. But with great pressure from Pepsi, the company thought they were losing their edge. And yet, when they made the change, took the classic off, changed the formula, the whole company almost went under. And immediately, they slapped classic back on the can, and then they went back to their formula. Now that's the world of consumerism, where we live in a culture that says, you want a bigger burger, give them a bigger burger. Whatever they need, you give it. You please the consumer. And so it's a dog-eat-dog world, always trying to stay on top. Always trying to stay on top through what we offer to make what we sell exciting. Now, the sad reality is that when it comes to the church, it's hard, and it even shouldn't be done, that we put the world's techniques for success on the same plane and inculcate them into the church. But that is exactly what has been done today. Today, many want the cry to be, "This is not your father's church." And many want the classic label taken off the sign. They want a different formula to the whole thing. They don't want anything that feels churchy. And you see this today in the approach, how everything is made to fit the modern day consumer mentality of, and of course, you know, with all the entertainment, stage presence and theaters and those sort of things, the church has caved to this stuff. The problem is that when you do that, you're tampering with an institution that you don't have the prerogative to tamper with. History has told us again and again to tamper with the institution of the church this way is deadly. Because the church is not about being cutting edge. This week, our subject is Reformation. And one of the great challenges of the Reformation was simply to return to the simple worship that the Bible outlines. Reformation is always about a return to the Bible because our hearts are idol factories and we're always moving away from it. We're always progressing away from the Scriptures, from the heart of following the Lord as outlined in what He gave us in His very Word. And so there's this great pressure today to simply hold fast to what we have. I mean, that's why the Bible continues to say, hold fast, don't change. I mean, Paul told Timothy, you continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. In other words, don't go in another direction. It's going to be all you can do to simply hold on to what you have in this fast-paced, contemporary society that tells us that this is what works, and this is what works, and this is what is popular. One of the greatest myths today in Christianity is that success is dependent upon what is popular. The Reformation was simply returning to what had been so lost. When we talk about Reformation, we're talking about what happened in the 16th century when the Reformers, and anyone who's in a Protestant church today has benefited from what took place in the Protestant Reformation. That's your roots, like it or not. And they broke away from what had been totally corrupted, and they went back to the Word of God. So it's always going back. You know, often we think of Roman Catholicism and the Popish religion as a bunch of ceremonies, empty and cold, and there's truth to that. It's just ceremonies. But what we don't recognize and often realize is even to this day, Roman Catholicism back in the 16th century and today was a beautiful aesthetic religion. The buildings, the architecture, the beauty, they were cutting edge with this stuff. Their music, their icons, their statues. The Reformation was about breaking away from all of this and returning to simple, Christ-edifying, God-glorifying worship. And what a challenge. In a culture that hung images everywhere, the Reformed understood that images needed to be broke down, and they did. They took a stand. They said that's a breaking of the second commandment. In a culture of elaborate, beautiful ceremonies, the Reformers believed that all of this was idolatrous. And they returned to what was called the regulative principle of worship. We can only do those things in worship that God has commanded in His Word. And that makes sense. It's God's house. It's not our house. If I came into your house and started telling you what I wanted, it would not only be rude, it's disrespectful. And the Reformers understood, when we look at the Scriptures, God has designed how He wants to be worshiped because He is God and we are not. In an age, of course, of beautiful chants and music, the Reformers went back to the psalm book that God had given us in the Psalms to sing His very words, to impress the words upon the heart through song, not mindless ditties and 7-Elevens that only seek to sort of make man and exalt him as he focuses on the I instead of the you, O Lord. You are glorious. The point is that they went back to that outwardly, which looked far less from where they had come. But inwardly, it was the worship of God in the Spirit. They understood that God is honored through the foolish means that He has chosen. That which is foolish to the world, there will be power behind it because God has ordained it to change lives. And that's not done with our oratory skills. That's not done with our stories and not in our great wisdom and abilities. I mean, one of the great perils to the modern day church is that, you know, we have a fascination of Hollywood stars today. This has been done in the church where we are attached to personalities, to the way people speak, to oratory skills, all of these things, instead of the fact that that man should be sent so that he would decrease and that Christ would increase. We don't even want to see the man heralding the word. The Reformers return to verse-by-verse expositional preaching to understand the gospel, because the gospel had been eclipsed, the gospel had been lost. And it's an amazing thing, my friends. It worked. These convictions rocked the world. They weren't little token explanations of a text so that someone can get up and push an agenda, which goes on just all over the place today. They weren't token expositions. They went verse by verse through books of the Bible to expound the Word of God, to open up the law and what God's will is, and to comfort God's people with the gospel, a gospel that had been eclipsed and lost for so long. The whole conviction was simply this: the Reformation was a drastic return to again being under the authority of the Word of God, since Christianity had been utterly corrupted in false worship. Anything more relevant to consider than that today? What built such a conviction? That's the whole heart of what we're looking at this week. Well, I want to look at this week a passage that had a huge impact upon our forefathers. And you can't help but read this passage and say, you know, we are in drastic need for reformation in our day. Back to the Word of God. And the whole point of all of this is simply this. People are looking today for spirituality. They're looking to revive people, to have a passion, I hear a lot, for the Lord. What will produce that? It's never the things that we think that will produce that. Spirituality diminishes, spirituality goes away, spirituality is lost when there is no love for the Word of God. There has to be a deep, incessant love for the Word of God among His people if you're going to produce the kind of spirituality that we know we should have, at least when we look at these people in the Scriptures put there for us, who love the Lord their God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. How did you know they loved the Word of God? They received a love for the truth, and they lived by that truth. They stood for that truth. And if there's any day in which an interest in the Word of God has diminished, an interest in the Bible, where people don't even know in the church the basic truths of the Christian faith, we're living in it. We are in a famine in the land. Nehemiah chapter 8 is all about God's people coming back into the land to reform after they had experienced judgment. And what you find in Nehemiah chapter 8 is not what you would typically expect to find in a people who were reforming, in a people who were again giving their hearts to the Lord in worship. What was central to them? I'm going to make the case this week. In every major working of the Spirit throughout history, there was one centerpiece. There was one love that developed. There was one holy passion. There was one desire. And that was the Word of God. Friends, Amos warned, "Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine upon the land, not a famine of bread nor of water, but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Men will run to and fro seeking for the word of the Lord, and they will not find it." Can we have a famine with multiple Bibles in our hands, with all the colors and all the cases and all the leather? Absolutely. We're in it. So this week, let's go back to the Word of God. Let's ask, what does the Word tell us that we might see our sin and glory all the more in Christ Jesus our Savior? Because the Word reveals to us the law and the gospel, the freedom when Christ is proclaimed to now be brought out of our dominion, out of our bondage to sin, and freedom to worship God again in the beauty of His holiness in the Spirit. Friends, we need to return to a love for the Word of God. At the Linden URC, our promise to you is to preach the Word in season, out of season. Join us this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. 318-0429 is the phone number. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.